The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And this is Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny. Right across this week, we have got lots to talk about with our Friday Forum. We're going to talk about the government's plan to splash the cash for a pre-election budget, whenever it may be. Is Dublin's fair city all that is pretty as crime continues in the capital and people have lost faith, it would seem, in the court prosecuting repeat offenders, and more to talk about. We have got in studio the Labour TD for Fingal, Duncan Smith, Fine Gael Senator Emer Curry, and Orla Ryan is news correspondent with thejournal.ie. Good morning to you all. Orla Ryan, I'm going to begin with you. Confidence in our justice system. I was looking at this the other day because we had a survey that was commissioned last year and it said that we had 70% confidence in the criminal justice system. And then we had a survey out this week that showed the almost reversal of that when it came to violence against women. Confidence is waning because of repeated cases where people have gotten suspended sentences for the most part.
Yeah, so the more recent survey that you mentioned there, it was polling by Amoric Research for the Irish Daily Mail. Some really stark figures there. So 82% of women and 70% of men said they don't have faith in the justice system, which is quite shocking, but it's quite a damning indictment of the current state of the criminal justice system. But it's not that surprising, I think. You've mentioned there, obviously, recent suspended sentences, in particular the Cathal Craghy case. You know, that was... the nation, I think, was very shocked that he got a suspended sentence. And obviously the DPP is now appealing that, and rightly so, I think. But it does beg the question as to how sentences can vary so much and how in cases like that, there can be a very, very violent crime and someone can walk away completely free. I know he got a suspended sentence, but he was left, you know, free to live his life. And I think, you know, when giving his sentence last month, you know, Judge Tom O'Donnell said, you know, that he didn't really want to damage Cathal Craghy's career. He has since been, you know... fired from the Defence Forces. He was let go earlier this week. But I think it does, there was so much anger there. And Natasha O'Brien obviously has spoken very eloquently numerous times since then. There's been mass protests. But I think, you know, for women and men, but particularly for women and for young women, there was just such a sense of anger of, you know, there was damning evidence. He bragged about it on social media, two to put her down, two to put her out. And still the judge was like, no, a suspended sentence.
Well, the court has published its judgment, and it has been, of course, referred to the Court of Criminal Appeal by the Director of Public Prosecutions. But Fine Gael, Senator Emer Curry, your party is the party of law and order. Not sure many believe that.
Well, I don't think anybody can doubt the emphasis and the effort that Minister Helen McEntee has put into domestic, sexual and gender-based violence. The plan...
But you can talk, but the talking the talk and seeing what's happening, very different.
Well, I'm not here to justify a sentencing decision that I think that was wrong, and that
I'm talking about a wider societal issue, Emer.
And I'm very pleased to this week that he was discharged, and that it has been appealed to the Court of Appeal by the DPP. We have seen a concerted effort and investment, a doubling of refuge spaces just this week, the passing of the Sexual Offences and Human Trafficking Bill, which, of course, does improve protection for victims. But we need to do more. And I think we're the first people to say that there needs to be improvement and progress in this area.
When I was walking around Dublin last weekend, normally when I'm in Dublin, I'm working. So, you know, head down, keep going, interact with people as you go along, realise that there are serious problems. It was when I was walking around with my teenage son last weekend and I saw the indications of drug use in doorways. And I would have felt a little bit intimidated by certain individuals. And he would have been slightly oblivious to it, but I wasn't. And I didn't feel safe. And I'm an adult man who lived a large part of his life in Dublin. Your government is responsible for law and security in the capital city, and people are saying that you have not done enough. I mean, you can talk about taking a strong stance, but the public don't believe that.
Well, and again, I'm not here to disagree with you that the city hasn't changed. And one of the questions your producers asked me was, do I feel safe in the city? And the truth is, I feel sad when I'm walking around the city to see how much it's changed. And I do feel uneasy in places. And that is why Simon Harris, one of the first things that he has done is set up a task force. We have a new collection and ruling group of Dublin City councillors. Fine Gael are back in that ruling group for the first time in 10 years, and they've made it very clear that getting back to basics of the city is really important. But I'll say this, Jonathan, that we have seen overtime increase. We have seen an increase in Garda visibility. It isn't just about policing. It has to be. There has to be a Dublin strategy. And there are parts to this where I think we haven't acknowledged the significant change that has taken place in the city. For example, we talk about the benefits of working from home and remote working, but it has had an impact on footfall in the city, particularly city.
Hang on, I'm going to stop you there. That doesn't allow for the gougerism. I want to bring in Duncan Smith, but that doesn't allow for the gougerism.
No, Jonathan, and I'm not saying
in the city has nothing to do with that.
I'm saying that it's a factor that the footfall has changed in the city. The city has changed since COVID. And yes, we're doing the right thing by focusing on policing. Yes, we're doing the right thing by talking to businesses and community groups. My point is, Jonathan, that we need a bigger strategy, an all-encompassing strategy, because Dublin has changed.
God forbid you're in power for 14 years. Safety in Dublin, Duncan Smith, how do you feel about it?
Thank you, Jonathan. I certainly feel, as someone who loves Dublin and spends an awful lot of time in Dublin City, both with work and indeed socialising, for someone like myself, I certainly feel I have to keep my wits about me. It's not as safe as it was. And I know in my constituency, on the doors, people in North County Dublin are telling me that, you know, they don't feel safe in Dublin City. They don't go in as often as they used to. They don't go in on their Saturdays to go into town to go down Henry Street or go down Arnott or go across the river. They just don't feel safe. And there's a number of factors to that. Key to underpinning an awful lot of it is the lack of visible Gardaí on the streets. Now, I know that's an easy thing for any politician to say, government or opposition, but it is a fact. Garda numbers have never recovered since the crash. There's also other elements to it. There is a feel of dereliction in certain parts of Dublin City. I think the outdoor workers and cleansing staff in Dublin City Council do an incredible job, but there's not enough of them. And I think one thing that Labour have brought to that ruling group in Dublin City Council is funding to increase that level of staffing. And that helps as well. If you decrease dereliction and if you improve the cleanliness, that helps to an overall feel. If I can speak to the point you said about open drug taking as well. We in the Labour Party are supporting a health-based response to that. I mean, we need to tackle addiction at source, and we need to ensure that there's health-based responses to that and a decriminalisation model for the drugs user. I was in Dublin City last.
But look at the row that we had over opening the first injected supervised site in the city. And I know that people feel very strongly about this, and I'm not going to relitigate all of that now, but that was the most difficult thing to open in Dublin ever, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's where the responsibility lies with us politicians. At all levels, at local level and at national level. Because where would you... People who are addicted to drugs will take drugs. Do you want to see them like you and your son saw people last week taking drugs in doorways or down laneways or on main streets? Or would you rather have them take drugs in a safe environment with healthcare professionals, with perhaps a pathway out of addiction and a caring model? And that's what we need to say loud and clear, because what's happening at the moment isn't good for the city, and it's not good for the vulnerable people who are addicted to drugs.
Or, Lorraine, it's not just the inaction regarding all of the things that we've just been talking about. It's also the concerted action that has been taken, almost as if the people who designed it were living in an alternative reality. And if you drive along the canal in Dublin, you see this weird long Kesh style setup where you've all these barriers to try and prevent people from camping.
It's kind of dystopian when you walk by.
It is, but I mean, did anyone think of the risk that poses then to people who are actually walking on the canal?
Well, obviously it's a short term plan, but it's there for the next few months at least. But you know, there seems to be no end in sight. And I was chatting to my friend about this the other day. She was walking along the canal a couple of weeks ago. She's walking home after a night out. A man approached her. He had been drinking. He said something to her. He didn't try anything, thankfully. He just stumbled away. But she said she was terrified in that moment because, you know, women and men, but particularly women, know that fear. If you're walking home, it wasn't that late, but it had got dark. And she said, if he tried anything, all I could do was jump in the canal. There was nowhere to go because of the barriers. Thankfully, nothing happened there. But, you know, that is a concern. I don't go down by the canal when it's dark now, primarily because the barriers are there. And it is a real fear. So I don't think there has any been long-term thinking or joined-up thinking of the knock-on effect it has both on asylum seekers and on people, you know, who live in Dublin and work in Dublin every day. And, you know, I think it's just, it's a massive issue, and I honestly don't know how the government are going to deal with that, because it hasn't really been thought through. It was like, okay, put the barriers in, that'll get rid of the tents. One, it hasn't gotten rid of the tents, and we've seen the impact of that in recent weeks of what's happened.
But do we know, like, I've always tried to get to the bottom of this. Whose idea were the barriers? I'm presuming it's Dublin City Council, is it?
I don't know, to be honest.
Eimear Curry, do you know? Duncan, do you know?
No, I'm not aware. Sorry, Jonathan.
I would say it's the department, Jonathan, in concert with Dublin City Council. But, you know, when the new Taoiseach came in, I remember vividly the Monday morning headline, a kind of a triumphalist, we've cleared the canals type headline, and these barriers being up. Of course, the people were back in the coming days with tents. The barriers remain and the strategy isn't working. We need a safe place for asylum seekers in our city centre, as well as the rolling out of the regional centres as per the Day report. But, you know, what's happening at the moment is serving no one. I think what Orla said in terms of how anyone is now feeling unsafe and how these barriers are okay, adding to a feeling of instability in the city needs to be tackled.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii. But we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part or roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.americanloghomesandcabins.com.
Some texts that have come in on this. I wonder what the solution is, though. Not enough guards. People don't want to join the force, and the ones they have aren't staying in it. There's a taxi shortage as well. No consequence for crimes. Open drug taking. Kids on scooters with hoods up, running through traffic dangerously, up to God knows what, holding the city to ransom. So somebody who's put it all into one text there. Jonathan, there should be continental-style security in cities. Paddy wagons with instant arrest. Patrolling police with sidearms. It's ridiculous policing here. A risk to guardian citizens. But I don't think we want that either, do we? Because, you know, there's nothing more intimidating than going to a city like Paris or going to a city like Munich or Barcelona, where you have heavily tooled up police officers. We don't want that. We're happy with the guards we have. We just want the citizenry to respect the other citizens.
Exactly, Jonathan. And I think that this is the point that I made at the start, that it's not just about one response. We do need joined up thinking here in a massive way for Dublin City. We need a new vision for Dublin City and a new strategy. I look at what Helen McEntee has done by bringing in the local community safety partnerships, and that works. That model is there for local communities to develop local community safety partnerships. But we need something very similar in Dublin City. We need an all-encompassing people working together, from youth workers to TUSLA to the HSE. Also, of course, the Gardaí play a massive role in that, and I do think that is the answer. It needs to be resourced, and it's great to see our Dublin City councillors come to the fore with a back to basics approach. And I agree with Duncan about the dirty streets and questionable smells and locations, and that's not what we want. We want a really good experience for anybody coming to the city, and it does make us sad to see the city the way that it is.
Duncan?
John, yeah, just I mentioned there on the type of policing and the type of security, there's a very interesting a survey done by SIPTU of transport workers across the bus and across rail in Lewis. And one thing that the Lewis staff and drivers said was that the private security that they had on their carriages weren't working, because the young people, mainly young men or boys who are causing the antisocial criminal behaviour, know that those security operatives don't have powers of arrest or powers of enforcement. Yep. So we are at a space now, I think, collectively across politics, and indeed SIPT have been strong on this with their campaign, that we do need a dedicated unit of Garda Síochána towards.
There's a lot of politicians people. Actually agree with that on all sides of the House, but the Gardaí are the ones who seem to be holding that particular issue back. Question here, text message rather, why do politicians blame everything on COVID? Dublin City Centre was dangerous long before COVID. It was dangerous over 20 years ago. Not as dangerous, I would argue. Tony's in Monaghan. He says any legalisation, decriminalisation of drug taking increases drug use. All the arguments promoting legislation ignore that fact. And someone else says it's not just the city centre. I live in Dublin 17, not far from the Garda station. And right now we have four or five lads on the road selling crack openly. The Gardaí and all the local councillors know about this, but they have given up. This will go on until 9 o'clock tonight. The place is a mess. And that just goes to show the frustration that is out there. And on the Barcelona and guns and people in Paris, haven't, the police haven't guns. We went to Paris recently with our kids. The presence of heavily armed police was nothing but comforting and excitement for our 13-year-old. And also says, I feel safe in Paris and Barcelona. As a woman, a tooled-up guard would make me feel safe. Anyway, we'll park Dublin there because we're not going to solve those particular problems. Orla Ryan of thejournal.ie, the government's the budget and when it happens is a source of tremendous interest, because it might give us an indication as to when the election might happen. But the two lads went out at the first time together operating as a duo, the Anton Deck of Irish finances, Jack Chambers as the new Minister for Finance and Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform. I mean, it's a big change from when they used to be cutting things.
I mean, it is indeed. The government will have €8.3 billion to dip into in October, and the budget will be on October 1st. It's been moved forward by a week, as you say, further increasing speculation that there will be an election in October or November. But the money that, you know, they've confirmed on Tuesday, it basically says there will be additional public spending of €6.9 billion and taxation measures amounting to €1.4 billion. Now, of that €6.9 billion, over €5 billion is already allocated. A big chunk of that is going to health, for example. But the overall spending next year will rise by 6.9%. So that breaches the government's own national spending rule, which is supposed to limit overall annual spending increases to 5%. The government says this is fine. You know, we have the money there. We need to make investments. There's been population growth. There's been inflation. Things are more expensive. But the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council has come out and said, you know, if you're increasing this, if you're breaching your own limit again, you can do that, but it requires tax increases to pay for the extra spending. The government has said that that's not going to happen, that there will be more tax cuts. But it's looking like there could be also more cost of living measures. Last year, there was an additional €2.5 billion was added for a range of cost of living measures. Jack Chambers says there may be, you know, a similar additional fund this year, but it likely won't be as high because things have stabilised somewhat in terms of prices. But, you know, we could be looking at in or around €10 billion being spent overall next year. So, naturally, people will say it's a giveaway budget ahead of the election.
Yeah, by the sounds of it, the cost of the pipeline from Shannon to Dublin, we should hold on to a bit just in case we need it. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, Ian McCurry, is there a more thankless job than joining an organisation that consistently has to tell the government that's the wrong thing to do and then be promptly ignored?
No, I think their advice isn't ignored, but I think we have our ministers there to make these decisions, and I think they're making them for the right reasons, which is that we do have to increase public spending. We do have a population increase, an ageing population. We do have capital deficits that we still need to address, and we're also putting money away into our new funds to ensure that we have sustainability. So I think it's the right approach for 2025. I think the decisions that were taken in 2021 were the right decisions, as we can see.
It's not going to do any harm in an election year, though, is it, that you're going to give away a huge amount of money like that?
I don't know that I would describe it as a giveaway budget, Jonathan.
And well, we're putting on a hair shirt now, are we?
Well, I think it is the next budget in a series of budgets, and I don't think the formula is going to be too different. But if we can put more money back in people's pockets, that's a good thing. If we can invest in infrastructure that we badly need, that is a good thing.
A disaster for ye, Duncan Smith, because it's very hard to criticise a budget like that, except you can try and find a few places where Johnny was done a little bit short compared to Mary. For the most part, do you accept that this is an election trick that's going to go out there to try and convince people to return the existing coalition with or without the Green Party?
There's no doubt about that, but there's a couple of things in the detail of the summary economic statements which I think bear a bit of attention. The 1.5 billion into health for this year, is a tacit admission that Pascal Donoghue got it wrong when he took on Stephen Donnelly last year and didn't fund health appropriately for 2024. And then the 1.2 billion for next year is just to cover the existing level of service.
Did he get it wrong, or did he not trust the department's ability to manage their budget? Because that's probably what it was more about in his mind.
I'm not sure which is worse, but either way, he's ponied up 1.5 billion now when he was asked to do it last year. And the 1.2 billion for existing level of service next year, still... What is going to remain, it seems, is the moratorium on the recruitment of frontline staff. We have all across the country so many frontline services, social care workers, occupational therapists, physiotherapists.
We've been hiring consultants at a rate of knots on the public only contracts, and we haven't been hiring the secretarial staff that are needed to fulfil those contracts. So we've a load of doctors been hired and no one to do the admin, and I'd love to know where the logic lies in that.
But that's exactly it. But there's another thing in relation to we have a country now that has an awful lot of money, but so many people for a country so rich still feel so poor. And I still think there's an argument for targeted supports in relation to utility bills. But like I do an awful lot of advice clinics every single week, and I have people coming to my advice clinics and have over the last couple of years with bills and showing me their bills. And what's going to happen again, or what shouldn't happen again this year, is the fact that those people who need it will get the same level of credit that I, as a TD, will get. You know, that's criminal and that can't continue. So if...
But that's the universal nature of the system. It has always been thus.
There may have been an argument given how quickly the cost of living crisis happened after Ukraine and all the rest. That's gone. So if they're going to continue with measures, which they need to do for people that need it, they need to be targeted and make sure that people like myself and others who are in privileged positions of earnings at the time are not getting it, and we're targeting it to the people that need it. Because there's many, many people, hardworking people, who are still struggling in this country, and they're looking at headlines of 8+ billion going back into the economy, and they're wondering how much of that are they actually going to see, like genuinely, in their pay packets or in help towards the meeting of their utility and food bills.
Orlaugh, just to go back to you, I mean, the Dáil rose last night. We had our awards earlier on. Neither of our other guests there were winners, maybe next year, lads. Ultimately, it's the last summer break before we have to go to the country. The big question is when they go to the country. I'm not sure anyone believes Simon Harris and Micheál Martin when they say the government is going to go to full term. They have nuanced their language a little bit, saying they wanted to go to full term. But, I mean, you'd have to go down to Paddy Power's and put a bet on an October election.
You'd imagine. I mean, they have to hold 4 by-elections because of the TDs who were elected to be MEPs last month in the European elections. So you can't imagine they would hold 4 by-elections and then a couple of months later call a general election. The smart money is on October. That seems to be the word. Obviously, lots of ministers are now saying it's the intention to go to the full term.
Yes.
But it really looks like it's October.
Eimear Curry, have you the posters ready?
I think there's a lot of speculation going on, but this is a 3-party coalition, and we're in an era of coalitions. But
you're very organised in Fine Gael. You've nearly got all the selection conventions done.
No, we don't.
All you have to do is...
I
see them coming through every single day. Look who we're after selecting here. Look who we're after selecting here.
They have
Your
started.
Your ducks will be well in a row by October.
They have started, but there's a lot more to happen. And you have to start preparation, whether an election is a couple of months out or 6 months out or 8 months out. That is just the sensible thing to do.
What is the official line from Eimear Curry as to when the election is going to be?
The official and the personal view on it is the longer that we have to show delivery, the better.
Right. I'll take from that what it says. Duncan Smith, on your side, is Labour ready to go?
Well, my posters are ready, and I'm heading out canvassing after this show this afternoon. So we're and I was selected last night as a candidate in Dublin Fingal East.
Well,
so we're ready to go. And yeah, you know, I think what's been noticeable in the last couple of months is there's always talk, as you probably know, in Leinster House of when election is going to be, and there were different views within government, but now it seems everyone has accepted. Both government and opposition, all parties, that this is going to be a mid-October, early November, the latest election. And that's certainly the mood in around Leinster House on all sides.
Well, we will see whether that comes to pass or not. Duncan Smith, Labour TD for Dublin Fingal, Eimear Curry, Fine Gael Senator, and Orla Ryan, news correspondent with the Journal.ie. Thank you all very much for joining us on our Friday forum, and have a lovely weekend.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.